Well, let's open our Bibles this evening, and we're going to continue on these series of messages called The Power of Patience. And let's open this lesson with John 3:16. Let's read that together. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now tonight, if you would, let's open. We've been using this particular scripture verse as our foundation scripture. Let's open to James chapter 1, and let's look at verses 2 through 4, James chapter 1. And let's look at starting in verse 2. And I'll read from the King James. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Let me get to the right spot here. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." And we've been sharing, and I pointed out Sunday, when you fall into something, you fall into a hole or you fall into something, just the mere fact that you fall into something can imply that you're encompassed about on every side. And actually, if you look that word up, fall into, in the Greek, that's just exactly what it means. It means to be encompassed. And if you look at some of the other translations, the Weymouth translation bears that out. It says to be hedged in. And so sometimes when we fall into some things, we can feel like we're encompassed about or hedged in or circled around with every kind of trial and tribulation, stuff that just is pressing us or pressing upon us. And what are we supposed to do? It says, when we do that, it says, count it all joy when you fall into these divers temptations. And how can we do that? It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So these tests and these trials of your faith is going to work something. It's going to work patience. Or you could say it another way, we shared it Sunday, it can work endurance. Or another word would be persistence. So you're going to work something in your life. And think about this. If you had no need of patience, why would there be, well, let's say this. Why would you need to work something? You don't. If you didn't have to wait for anything, why would you need to have patience? You wouldn't. So if I don't have to wait for anything, what's the need for it? Don't even need it. So there is going to be a trial of something, and here's the thing, you're not going to know that something is working until you put some pressure on it. And not only know that it's there, but know you have faith until something's pressed upon you, tried. And so it's the trial of your faith that works patience. So let's continue. It says in verse 4, but let patience, so you got to let it, have what? Her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And as we said, if there was no need for patience, then what would there be a need for persistence or endurance? You wouldn't need it. You wouldn't need it at all. Now let's go, I want you to go over for a moment. Well, let me read this again from, I like this from the Living Bible. This is James 1 and 2 through 4. It says, dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. So what does it say? When trials and tribulations come, don't try to squirm out of them. Let that have its perfect work in you. Now let's jump over, go over to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to spend some time here for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 6. And look at verse 7. I want to read 7 through actually 12. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, comes a lot, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from the Lord. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is none unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now this is the verse I want you to, we're going to spend some time here. That ye be not slothful, or some of the translations say lazy or sluggard, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And what does that say? Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let me read this verse from the Message translation. It says, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. What are we supposed to be? Be like those. Be followers of those. The Amplified, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators behaving as do those. See that word? It says, be followers, be imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their learning of the entire personality on God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. This is the Holman Christian Standard. so that you won't become lazy, but imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. This is the Voice translation. And not grow lazy. We want you to walk in the footsteps of the faithful. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful who came before you. See? From whom you can learn to be steadfast in pursuing the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. The scriptures say, be followers, be imitators, follow those that came before you. Very important. See, sometimes we read over that, and I'm just going to just take a few moments here, just for a few moments, to see the importance of that. We're to walk in the footsteps of the faithful that came before you. Is it important to have influences and godly influences in your life? The scripture says so. Because those influences, if they are godly and have walked steadfastly and have endured and persisted and did what? Inherited the promises of God, and you saw it and partook of that. This says right here, you're to follow that. So we can see that a godly influence is extremely important in our lives, both naturally as a parent and also spiritually. That's extremely important. And so here, let's turn over just for a moment here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at the first verse. What did Paul say? He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. So we're to be what? Followers of those who inherited the promises. It says, but be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And then Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. You can write this down. You don't need to turn there. But Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Same thing, being a follower. So our influences sometimes in our lives, both good and evil, are more than what we realize. They're more than sometimes we realize, and sometimes we don't realize the influence until it's removed. We don't realize sometimes the good or bad influence until it has been removed from us. Then we begin to see the effect of that. Turn over to, you're in 1 Corinthians, turn over to chapter 15 and look at verse 33. Whatever you follow and fellowship with is what you will partake of. Whatever you follow after, whatever you fellowship with is what you fellowship, you know what I'm talking about, commune with is what you become or partake of. Chapter 15 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. What does it say? Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So we're talking about following after those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. We're talking here tonight about influences in our lives, and specifically godly influences. They can have a direct impact in our lives for good, so that we will follow and follow after what they did. You see. The complete Jewish Bible says, don't be fooled. Bad company ruins good character. Bad company ruins good character. And it says, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Don't be hoodwinked, however you want to say it. This is the New Century Version. Do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. You see. Bad friends will ruin good habits. This is the Amplified. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. And so what we fellowship around, what we partake of, gets inside of us. And ultimately, what you fellowship around is what you follow after. And it can corrupt and have an effect upon your life. So what we hang around, and you know this, that can be good or evil. What you hang around, I mean, every one of us can look back on our lives and say, man, I hung around the wrong folks. And it had a direct effect upon my life. I know for me, just, you heard Pastor Clinton say, you know, you just went so far, you knew, don't step over that line. Now, why didn't you step over that line? Because you had a mama, you had a daddy, you had somebody in your life that put some principles in you, some character, some boundaries, that when you just, you know, you got out there. So what happened? When that godly influence was removed out of your life, you had to start making your own choices, didn't you? And so you started maybe making some wrong choices. But you just went so far. You just went so far. You know, if I went too far, you heard somebody. You heard something, or there was something in your heart that said, no, that's too far. So there were some godly influence that had an effect upon your life. Turn over to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. And don't forget, you know, what we said, that it's followers of them, being followers of them, who through faith and patience inherited the promises of God. So that particular verse is highlighted to me. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. See, so if you're going to inherit the promises of God, you're going to have to walk with some wise people. You're going to have to walk after those who have, so that you can follow in their footsteps and partake. You understand the point. So, when you fellowship with evil and you partake of that, it's going to have an effect upon you. And no different than people that continually come and fellowship in settings like this, just over and over and over and over and over, what happens? We partake of what's going on. And if you're not careful, I'm talking about every one of us, you know, we have to be prayerful. I mean, we're not talking about dictating to people what they partake of. But the point is you need to be led by the Holy Ghost as to what you see, where you go, what you watch, what you partake of. Because when you do, when you fellowship in those settings, it could be family. See, we're talking coming up Thanksgiving. It could be family. And what you fellowship with and the people that you're around, and I know you're smart enough to know this, but when you fellowship like that and partake, you can become influenced by the spirits that motivate them. Just the same way that we come in and we fellowship at a service, you are influenced by the Spirit of God that motivates the people that are teaching, leading worship. They bring in, they usher in, and yield themselves to the Spirit of God so that he can flow through them. Is that not correct? And it's no different where evil is concerned. You place yourself around bad. What does it say? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You want to hang around people that talk stuff, and I'm telling you, you will begin to partake of that, and it gets inside you. What's happening? You are yielding to the same spirit that they're being influenced by. And so you need to just say, I'm not going there. I'm not partaking of that. I'm not fellowshipping around that. Now that could be anything. I'm just saying it could be family, it could be business, it could be whatever you're in. You need to set some boundaries because what does it say? It's through walking in the footsteps of the faithful who came before us that we will inherit the promises of God. And so we need to be conscious of the fact that those that have had influence in our lives, we in turn need to have the same influence in people's lives so that they can do what? Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, so that people can follow after you. See, isn't that true? Now, let's take a look here for a moment. Just use some examples here. Let's go over to Exodus for a moment. And let's look at Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. And you can see here in this chapter, you can begin to see as you read through this particular chapter, you can see the influence that Moses had on the people. And you can see what happened when his influence was removed. What happened here right from the first verse? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, what happened? They said they gathered themselves together and said, hey, let's make us gods. Right? He wasn't there. His influence was not there. See, so right away they want to do something different, and they'd already been told, don't serve and make any other gods. Don't serve any other gods or bow down. And so, jump down to verse 7, and it says, and then the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And look what it says here. It says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I have commanded them. And you can see here they went through and made themselves a golden calf and worshipped it and so forth. And then you can see here what happens in verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, what happens? Moses' influence again, right? And he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand, break them beneath the mountain. He took the calf, which they made, burn it in fire, ground it in powder, powdered it, and then said, drink it. Yeah. Threw it on the water, strawed it on the water, made the children of Israel drink of it. And then you can see here, as you go down, and then Moses, what did he do? He asked, who's on the Lord's side? And what did they do? They went through and slayed every man. So you can see here the impact that Moses had in their lives. I'm going to talk about godly influences. And you can also see, if you go over to Deuteronomy 31, when you think about it, here's one man that comes down into a camp. I mean, they could have taken him out, couldn't they? One arrow, one sword, they could have just taken him out. But obviously, the fear of God came upon them because of him. And Deuteronomy chapter 31, and look at verse 24. He said here, and it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of God, the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? He's already telling them, you jokers are going to be worse when I leave. He's already prophesying to them. And so he's talking about his influence, or you can see here his influence on them while he was alive. Now let's look for a moment here at Judges chapter 2. Look at Joshua. Judges chapter 2. And look at verse 7. And this chapter is very, very interesting if you just take the time here to read it. Chapter 2, and starting in verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord, and this is an interesting thing, all the days of Joshua. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So there was an influence there, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which had been done, or had done for Israel. So you can see here that after Joshua was off the scene, there rose up another generation that knew not the Lord. Isn't that interesting? So you can see there was a direct influence of Joshua on the people of Israel. You can see that. So we're talking about the influences, the godly influences in our lives. And you can see here, it goes on here, it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Now, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Now look at 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. Isn't this interesting? Which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto the judges. See, we're talking about influence here. They wouldn't hearken unto the judges. But they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, and they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. So you can see here the influence that Joshua had and the judges that were raised up to influence Israel. But what did they do? They turned aside. You walk, what do we say? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we can see here the importance of following after, being an imitator, which we said, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we're looking at the godly influences in our lives and others. And I think these examples here show us that there are godly influences that have an impact in our lives. And I know for me personally, I'm sure for you, there are people, spiritual and natural, that had influence in your lives that you draw upon even to this day. I believe that. I know for me, that's the truth. And the same thing, you know, we're talking about also, we can look at our children, and I can tell you there needs to be, where parents are concerned, there needs to be an example, and I know that we know this, but those children are going to draw upon that when you're not there. What are the choices that they will make? I know when we put this sound system in, this particular gentleman who, you know, the company that we used, he was out of Texas, and he also did work for the Billy Graham ministry. He had a very, very extensive background in audio. And he, you know, told me that, you know, he was out in studios for many, many years out in L.A. He mixed the Jackson 5 when they first came out as young children or young kids. So he had a very varied background, and then he got into installations and so forth, and then did mixes for the TV, the Graham TV program. And so we hooked up, and he made this statement. He said, "I've been accused of greenhousing my children." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "My children don't have strong roots. So I greenhouse them." I mean, he said, "What I mean is I restrict what they're exposed to. So when they're out on their own, they have strong roots. So when they have to make choices, they're not swayed in the wrong direction, because they are going to go out and they're going to have to make some choices, but those choices need to have some strong roots." And so he said, "Yeah, I do greenhouse them." And I remember when his son came over, he wanted to go over next door when the mall was over here. He wanted to go over to one of the places and play video games. And his dad said, "No, you're not going over there." And he said, "All right." And see, because he honored that, when he grew up, and, you know, he called me a number of years later, and his son, Noah, was 19, and because his dad had been faithful and honorable in the Graham ministry, they were now sending his son all over the world to record, you know, audio for video footage. And so the godly influences pay off. And so, and I know you know that. Now let's take one last look here, another example. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, and let's look at verse chapter 22. 2 Chronicles 22. And let's start . You can see the influences on someone's life here. So look at verse 1. It says, "The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem." Now look at the next sentence. "His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." His mother was his counselor to do wickedly. "Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. See the influence? You can see that. And then you can go on and read the story here, the rest of the story. Let me jump to verse 7. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And you can jump down to 10, verse 10. It says, but when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. She destroyed them. Wicked. And so then you can see here, down in verse 11, it says, but I can't pronounce it properly, but big word, the daughter of the king took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from the king's son that were slain and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. And I can't pronounce it, but the daughter of the king of Jehoram, the wife Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. So she took over, wicked, ruled over the land. And you can see here, you can jump over to chapter 23, and verse 11, it says, then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king. She came to the people into the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at the pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets and so forth. And then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. Then Jehoiada the priest, thank God, here's another godly influence. The priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said to them, have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her. And verse 21, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. And verse 24, chapter 24, verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't this an interesting thing? All the days of Jehoiada the priest. Godly influence. He did right all the days. He did right what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now jump over to verse 17 in the same chapter. You can begin to see, or actually let's look at 15, verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then they hearkened unto them. Isn't that interesting? Before he hearkened unto Jehoiada, the priest. He died, the princes came and bowed down to him, and he said what? Then the king hearkened unto them. See? And what happened? What's verse 18? And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Now Zechariah, you can see here, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of who? The king. Wow, how quickly they turn. In the court of the house of God, thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father, whose father? Zechariah's father, had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. So you can see here, all the days of Jehoiada, Joash served and pleased God. As soon as he was removed, the princes came, did obeisance, or they bowed to him, gave honor. And he did what? He listened to them. He hearkened unto them. So the point is that we are going to not know the influence of the godly people in our lives, whether natural or spiritual, until they're removed. And it's best to take those influences not for granted and take them to heart in your life when you have them and build strong foundations upon them. And I'm not talking about, you know, ignoring, or replacing it with something, but take those influences to heart and draw upon them. So you can see that here, just some examples in the Bible, we can see how corrupt evil communications can corrupt your character, your habits. And I think it's important that we reflect on those things so that what it said was, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. So it's following after, being an imitator of those that we inherit the promises of God. So as parents or as overseers, we need to make sure that the influences that we're having upon people are such that they can walk right in behind us and follow after us to inherit that which we're pressing towards. And what influence are we having upon people in our lives? And we need to be prayerful about what we fellowship, who we fellowship with, what we're around, what we partake of, because it will get in you and have an effect. And so I know that, you know, as we grow spiritually, and the Lord will direct each one of us, that some things that we did or God allowed, I'll just put it that way, things that were acceptable at one point in your Christian development, as you grow and become more spiritually mature, some of these things that you were partaking of, it's like, no, that's not acceptable anymore. So we need to be conscious of that, be prayerful about who we're around, who we're following, I guess is another thing to say. Amen? So just some thoughts to share, being a follower, and we're still talking about patience and the power of patience, but we're also talking about following after someone who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And so the importance of godly influences in our life can have an impact on whether we stand and endure and persevere, or we just throw the towel in and give up. Isn't that true? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm finished, and I trust that this is helping a little bit. It helps me, I'll tell you that. If it don't help you, it helps me. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this time of reflection in your word, feeding upon your word, drawing upon the examples and the end samples that are in it to help us walk this walk of faith and patience. And Father, we thank you for even the tests and the trials that we walk through. For we thank you that as we do, that we will come out perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we thank you for it. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.